Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you here on this Getaway Friday. Friday, May the 22nd, 2026, 18 minutes past the hour. The kickoff to Memorial Day weekend. Memorial Day comes up on Monday, and hopefully the temperatures will be nice and no rain. We can only hope for no rain. 54 degrees, mostly cloudy skies. It is a real Getaway Friday. Because Memorial Day weekend is truly a time to get away. Now, we've got a whole lot of stuff to do here this morning and a whole lot of stuff to talk about, but we've got a little news that we need to kick off the morning with here. As many of you have heard, the Trump administration's newly announced $1.776 billion fund to compensate people who claim that the government weaponized the legal system against them has attorneys and communications professionals scrambling to position their clients for a handout. Now, there were more than 1,500 Capitol riot defendants pardoned by President Trump on January 6th for their participation in January 6th, 2021. Now, apparently, some of these people, or all of these people, can get a little bit of this $1.8 billion fund. Now, one of those people we've had on the show, probably the most well-known rioter or insurrectionist, or however you want to refer to them, is the QAnon shaman, formerly known as the QAnon shaman, Jacob Chansley. Now, he's been on this show a couple times. It's always very interesting. But now he's front and center because of this story. Is he going to go after the reparations that Donald Trump and the IRS and the Justice Department are providing? So, we've got a 15-minute interview to kick off this Friday morning with Jacob Chansley to see how he feels about that. And then after that, we'll come back and talk about a whole lot of other things. But here is the former QAnon shaman, Jacob Chansley. Scott Spears here with you on WGH Radio, and today we are joined by a gentleman who has certainly been in the news a lot since January 6th, 2021. He was one of the people who was in Washington, D.C. the day the event happened. Some people call it an insurrection. Some people call it a riot. Some people call it other things. And it was back in the news this week because of a recent decision made by the Justice Department and the IRS, which we will get to momentarily. He is the man whose picture I'm sure you've seen all over the place. He's been on this program before. You probably remember him best with the headdress and the face paint on January the 6th, 2021. He does not like to be known as the QAnon shaman, but that's how he was referred to. And we're glad to have him back on this program today. Jacob Chansley. Jacob, how you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you for your patience.
No problem at all. Jacob, I want to get to this story here. Big story this week. The Trump administration's newly announced $1.776 billion fund to compensate people who claim that the government weaponized the legal system against them has attorneys and communications professionals scrambling to position their clients for a handout, CBS News has learned. Legal groups and public relations offices in Washington, D.C. and New York City have been abuzz ever since the Justice Department's announcement on Monday of the extraordinary anti-weaponization fund. It was rolled out as part of the Justice Department's settlement of a $10 billion lawsuit against President Trump that President Trump had filed earlier this year against the IRS over the leak of his tax returns. Anyone targeted by the Department of Justice will want to submit, which is many of our clients. A publicist for Sean Diddy Combs said, this is also open to the 1,500 Capitol riot defendants pardoned by Mr. Trump upon his return to the White House. This will be decided. Attorney General Todd Blanche, who previously worked as a criminal defense lawyer for Mr. Trump, signed a memo earlier this week for the Treasury Department that will move the money into this fund within 60 days. And a 5-member board appointed by the Attorney General will oversee the fund. Well, Jacob, a lot of people are wondering, are you going to take a stab and go after the funds in this fund? What say you?
I will not be taking a single red dime of that blood money. I find it very ironic that Donald Trump and his former criminal defense attorney, Todd Blanche, are choosing to give a total of $1.776 billion to the quote-unquote American people who've had the system weaponized against them, when in fact they know that the Donald Trump administration and the DOJ, have weaponized the system against me. They know that they've weaponized the system against me because they just got my summons. They just got the summons that I sent them, and over to Alina Abba in New Jersey in her law office, they got the summons for Donald Trump personally for him being involved in the weaponization of government against me, the American, and the American people, because I chose to blow the whistle and speak out against the Epstein files and the fact that Donald Trump is all in them. So it's just ironic. That's why I will not take a single red dime of that blood money. I also think it's important to note that Donald Trump exempted himself and his company, his children, from any sort of investigation by the IRS in the future. And in other words, giving himself basically a free pass to be a criminal, a white-collar criminal. So no, I'm not taking a single dime.
Well, it's very interesting. So you have filed a lawsuit against Trump's Justice Department for weaponizing against you. Do you believe that Biden's Justice Department was weaponized against you?
What you have to understand, and this is a thing that a lot of people, I guess, are finally coming to terms with in many ways, is that there is no difference between the Biden administration and the Trump administration. That it's all Epstein as president. That it's all the Rothschilds are in control because the Fed is still the one that is dictating terms. The Fed is basically like a skeleton key to the entirety of the American economy, bureaucracy, and political system. So the Fed is the issue. And whether it be Donald Trump or Biden, it really doesn't matter because the people behind the Fed are the ones in charge. And that's why the Epstein files or the Epstein emails are so important, because the Epstein emails prove that Epstein was working for the Rothschilds, and the Rothschilds are ones behind the Fed. And that's why the Rothschilds are also, I mean, the Fed, rather, is also in my lawsuit. And all this stuff about the Rothschilds and Epstein and Trump is also all in my lawsuit. So once again, I think it's ironic that they are trying to bribe people and say, oh, here, you know, you had the system weaponized against you, you know, and then I get all these people calling me and asking me what my opinion is on this idea of getting money from this slush fund when I'm, which is there for people that have had the government weaponized against them, and I'm sitting here with a lawsuit where I'm trying to get everybody in this country $39 trillion for, you know, having the government weaponized against all of us. And people are asking me if I'm going to try to get a little bit of money from this slush fund. You know, it's just ironic, don't you think?
Well, I think the idea is, I think people want to know if you believed that the Biden administration targeted you specifically, because I think that's what this is all about. Now, obviously, you feel that you have been targeted and the American people have been targeted by the Trump administration. But do you feel because of January 6th that you were targeted by Biden's Justice Department?
I believe that long before January 6th, I was targeted by the American government in general, dude. That's the thing. There's a whole history here that people just don't even know. You know, for example, Mike Pompeo's nephew was a part of the group of people that helped me to get to D.C. on January 6th. I didn't know he was Mike Pompeo's nephew until I was in the vehicle with him going to, you know, D.C. But lo and behold, he was there on January 6th. He was at the breach of the Capitol building where they were handing weapons inside the building. His photograph was taken. It went viral on the internet and on social media, on the regular media, and he never got arrested. He never even had the feds knocking on his door. But your boy ended up going and doing 10 and a half months in solitary and 27 months behind bars because both sides, the Republicans and the Democrats, decided that they were going to press charges. Remember, Trump's DOJ was the one that initially arrested me. It was Trump's FBI that initially arrested me. So, once again, it doesn't matter if it's Trump or Biden. All that matters is that the Fed is still operating in this country. Until we get rid of the Fed, we're not going to get rid of the child trafficking. We're not going to get rid of the war. Until we get rid of the Fed, we're not going to, you know, get rid of the corruption or the debt. No, we have to change things, and then we'll have, you know, a real country again.
Well, Jacob, I think one of the reasons the question that I've asked you matters to a lot of people is it is highly likely that a lot of the 1,500 people who were pardoned by Mr. Trump that day for what happened on January 6, 2021, will be trying to get some of this money, and they'll be getting it on the basis that they feel the Justice Department under Biden was weaponized against them. And you, as probably the most known face from that day, I think people wonder if you believe that that is true.
But dude, this is what I'm trying to tell you, is that, like, it's not the Biden DOJ. It's just the American DOJ. All right. It doesn't matter. Look at it like this. Whether it be Clinton, who was on the Lolita Express and went to Epstein Island 26 times or whatever, or it'd be Bush, who his father was a Nazi, his grandfather was a Nazi, his father was involved in JFK's assassination, George W. Bush knew about 9/11, and to top it all off, you know, all the Epstein emails have from, you know, 1999 to 9/11, to 2001 haven't been released. We know they were behind 9/11. And then, so you got Bush in Epstein's pocket. So you also got Obama, who went to Epstein Island. And then you've got Trump, who's all over the Epstein files. He's best friends with Jeffrey Epstein. And then you got Biden and the Hunter Biden laptop that prove that the Biden administration is corrupt. So basically, just for, you know, the sake of argument, let's say for the last 30 or more years, you know, based on the evidence, Epstein was president, or the Rothschilds, rather, were president, because Epstein was representing the Rothschilds, you see. So it doesn't matter if it's Biden DOJ or Trump DOJ. Do you understand? What matters is, and this is something that black people and, you know, and minorities have discovered the hard way over, you know, the decades, it doesn't matter if it's a Republican or a Democrat in the White House. The DOJ is still corrupt as hell, and they're still pushing this New World Order agenda. And that's why my lawsuit is so important, bro. Because my lawsuit is a documentation of how not only did the government target me, whether it be the Trump DOJ or the Biden DOJ, not only did the Trump and Biden DOJ target me, but we're talking, this targeting goes all the way back to Obama, dude. This targeting goes all the way back to when when Bush was in office. That's how long the government has been messing with me, dude, and it's all in my lawsuit.
Well, that brings up an interesting question, Jacob, because you feel, as you say, the government's been messing with you for quite some time, and it's not necessarily whose Department of Justice it is. When you look back now, it's been over 5 years since January 6th, 2021. Do you regret that day, what happened, or do you regret anything you did that day?
Nope.
Nothing.
Nope.
Do you regret anything that happened that day to anybody? Not necessarily anything you did, but the things that happened that day.
Look at it like this, dude. Why would I regret something that I cannot control? Okay, I had no say whatsoever. It wasn't like because it was my decision that that happened. Okay, so I have no reason to regret what happened that day. If I could go back and I could stop it all from happening, would I? Absolutely. If I could go back with the knowledge that I have now and stop that false flag from taking place, that is exactly what I would do. But, dude, that's not the case right now.
Do you believe it was an insurrection? Is that the word you would use?
No. What? No, dude. You want to look in this, you want to see an insurrection? Look and see what happened in Afghanistan with the botched withdrawal. That is an insurrection.
So what? How do you refer to that day?
Bro, let me ask you. Do you know how many people entered the Capitol? Approximately what? 1,500 or so at the most, right? Not even, because it's maybe a couple hundred, okay? They entered the Capitol, all right? That means that less than 1% of the people that were in D.C. on January 6th went into the Capitol. And that also means that less than 1% of the people that went into the Capitol, believe it or not, were charged with violent crimes, okay, inside the Capitol. All right, so this idea of it being some sort of a riot even, at the most it was a riot. But that's outside the building. When you talk about getting inside the building, there was no real riotous behavior inside the building. And that's why they used my image, because they could not create the illusion that the rioting that took place outside the building also took place inside. But they could create a shock and awe campaign that created the illusion that what happened outside happened inside. They show people all this violence that took place outside, and then they show them this crazy guy in horns and face paint that looks like he's screaming, you know, and inside, and now there's an insurrection. And see, that emotional stimuli causes people to have a warped perception.
Jacob,
so it was a riot at the most.
Well, you were there. That do you think that President Trump helped cause that event by his words that day during the speech he gave?
I'm going to put it this way. Trump played his part in all of that fiasco beautifully, because he waited a long time before he told people to calm down and go home. Okay, it sounds to me, in all honesty, I would not be surprised at all if Trump and his DOJ and Pompeo and, you know, the military, the CIA, I wouldn't be surprised if all of them were in on all of that. Okay, I'm telling you, bro, because I know, because I was on the inside in one way or another, because in many ways I was running the country from my phone, believe it or not, for like almost a year. Right? I should say almost a year. For about half a year, rather. Anyway, point is, I know because I was on the inside that both Republican and Democrats are buddy-buddy behind the cameras. Okay? They're all a part of the same club, and we are not in it.
Jacob, we're running out of time today because of getting on late, but we're going to get you back on the program. But I want to ask you this before we run out of time today. With a minute left to go, what would you say to President Trump today with this news this week?
I told you to surrender. Last time I said, surrender. Just give up, dude. Just, you know, look at the lawsuit, know that I've got you by the balls, and eat your own pie, white man from town. All right? Eat your own pie. You guys want to get a hold of me and you guys want to, you know, do this the right way, then go ahead. But I'm not giving up, so you might as well surrender.
And you are definitely not going to go after this money in any way?
In any way, shape, or form. I want no part of that.
Jacob Chansley, formerly known as the QAnon Shaman, or referred to as that. And Jacob, seriously, we'll get you on time here one day and we'll get you on the program and we'll discuss a whole lot more going on with your life.
I'd love that. Thank you. I'm sorry about the mix-up.
No problem. Thanks, Jacob.
All right. Bye-bye.
Jacob Chansley here on WGH Talk Radio.
Well, there you go. It's always interesting when Jacob joins us, and I hope you enjoyed that interview. And I think rather timely with the $1.8 billion going to the Justice Department to pay out some of these people from January the 6th. All right, phone lines are open this morning, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Does anybody have any thoughts on our opening interview this morning here on WGH Talk? Now, I do want to thank again Sam Donaldson for coming on yesterday, helping us remember Barney Frank, legendary representative. That was a lot of fun as well. And we also went through a few current events. I thought that was very good. And now we've got Jacob Chansley talking about this. Any thoughts on anything or anything else on your mind as we head into the big Memorial Day weekend? I said yesterday, do people still go out and visit the graves? I don't know if they do or not. I don't know if that's become a bygone thing, if people don't do that anymore. But it's unfortunate if they don't. I do want to mention, Matt is not here yet, so I don't want to get too deep into this. But I do want to mention, I did attend the big Bravo competition last night at Bucci's. And they had a great crowd there, probably 100, 125 people there last night. And that's a big crowd for the little area there at Bucci's. It was the Bravo competition presented by the Marion Crawford Prevention Programs. Youth Talent Scholarship Competition. People competing in that were Aaron Brewer, Gabriel Rosvanis, Helena Gray, Layla Wiley, Patience Delaney, Piper Krosky, Roman Bracey Malcolm, and Talon Watkins. Last night was the grand finale. Saw a lot of people I knew. There were a lot of people there. Certainly a lot more people there than were there the prior week. And I think I can mention that the winner of the competition last night was Helena Gray with Patience Delaney, who was on the program last week. She was the runner-up. But we'll get into this a little deeper when Matt gets here, because Matt was at the competition last night. Now, is there anybody who was at the competition who would like to jump in here this morning and share their thoughts on what went on last night? And as I said, as soon as Matt gets here, I'll weigh in with what I thought. There were a few things last night that I thought were interesting, to say the least, different from the week before. I'll tell you, I will just say this. The kids performing absolutely have a tremendous amount of talent. That was the best part of the show, the 2 weeks that I attended, was the kids that are performing had absolutely a tremendous amount of talent. I don't know if there's a dud in that bunch. I liked all of them. I thought they all were very, 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 very good performers, and all could certainly succeed in the music industry, doing something to some degree. But there are just a few things last night that I think we'll talk about as time goes along. This morning when Matt gets here. But if anybody's got any opinions on the competition last night, feel free to weigh in. 740-383-9944. And as far as I know, there was no kerfluffle last night at the competition. We learned a couple days ago that apparently 2 weeks ago, or last week, you know, the time going by so fast now, last week there was a little kerfluffle at the end of the competition. I'm not really sure why that happened. I heard what happened. I'm not really sure why it happened. But, you know, hopefully nothing like that happened last night. I didn't hear that anything like that had happened. So, hopefully it was a good night last night and everybody was on the best of terms, as they would say. But again, the phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. So the big winner last night was Helena Gray, and the runner-up was Patience Delaney. Both very good singers. I would say both of them are probably more of the, what would you say, more of the Broadway genre of music. They kind of have that type of a voice and do those type of songs. You know what's interesting? When you do a Broadway song, I'm not sure if most people know the songs, to be honest with you. I don't know when it comes to Broadway songs. I think some people seem to know them, and some people don't seem to know them. It's a toss-up. It's interesting, honestly. But again, we'll get into this deeper as the morning goes along. But if anybody's got anything to say, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. But I'll say again, the highlight of the competition for me the last couple weeks was definitely the people performing. I think they did just a tremendous, tremendous job. So we'll leave that where it is for right now. Now, we've been talking all week about a lot of things going on with the city. And, you know, they continue on here. Curbside recycling. You know, since we put the story up on curbside recycling, I'm not sure how many reactions and comments and so on and so forth. But it definitely is the top story on our social media page ever since we put that up on, Monday night now. So it's been a few days. People are not happy about that. Now, I don't know what that will mean for Tuesday's city council meeting, but people definitely do not seem to be happy about the elimination of curbside recycling on July the 1st. And again, I think what this has to do with, I think people see it as a regressive issue. Now, people don't like their sanitation raised. People don't like their storm sewer raised. People don't like their bus fares raised. People don't want to get rid of an out-of-city work tax credit. But the difference here is people have had curbside recycling in Marion now for 41 years. And people feel very passionately about recycling. And when you're taking a program away like that, people feel that you're taking a service away. You're not raising the cost of the service. You're taking the service away. And people just don't like it. And that's very apparent in the comments on the Facebook page. So, you know, that's what it is. Phone lines again are open, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Feel free to give us a buzz if you have anything to say in regard to that or anything else. As I said about Monday night city council meeting, the conversation on decorum continued. But I'm not sure now if the rules of decorum are going to pass. Because Monday night, it almost seemed as if the city council members were having trouble understanding what the rules of decorum, the new rules of decorum, would even be. So I think there's a lot of confusion there on a lot of people's behalf. So, you know, I don't know where that's going. I can't imagine that's got a big exclamation point to pass at this particular point. And also, I think Aaron Rollins pointing out that really it's the president's job of council to control the meeting. I think that that rang true with a lot of those council members, and that your rules are only as good as the person running the meeting. And if that person is not running the meeting well, then those rules are not going to be enforced no matter what those rules are. And this is a big issue, and I think that rings very true with people as we go on down the road. So there's that. Again, if you have any thoughts on that, 740-383-9944. Let's see here. So we've talked about curbside recycling. We've talked about the raising of the bus fares. We've talked about the Bravo competition last night. We played the interview with Jacob Chansley this morning, the former QAnon shaman. Apparently not going to take any of the money from the Trump administration. Reparation money. You know, the idea of that reparation money is just so peculiar in that people were arrested and tried in a lot of cases, and a lot of them were jailed, and now they could get a good portion of money for having been going through that legal trouble. I don't know. I can't imagine all of them were wronged. I don't know that any of them were wronged. I guess you would just watch the footage from January the 6th, 2021, to see what you think. It's a very strange thing, but you know what? I guess that's the way it goes. Stephen Colbert had his last show last night. From what I hear, it was a very good show. We'll talk a little more about that as the morning goes along today, but I hear, I think Paul McCartney did appear on the show last night, and I think there was a symbolism in Paul McCartney appearing, because the show was broadcast from the Ed Sullivan Theater. And, of course, the Beatles debuted on the Ed Sullivan Show in the Ed Sullivan Theater back in the 1960s. So I think that's the symbolism with Paul McCartney at this particular point. I think the only other Beatle left at this point is Ringo Starr. You know, as we get ready for Memorial Day, a lot of people this year do not seem to be having cookouts or get-togethers. Now, I wonder why that is. I have no... Is it the price of meat or something? Are people just not getting together? Or maybe because it's earlier in the year than it normally is? I don't know what's going on with the Memorial Day cookouts this year or the Memorial Day get-togethers. I don't know if people have changed a little bit as time has went on. Maybe the same thing with not going to the cemeteries and decorating the graves anymore. Maybe it's a complete change in personality and sensibility. I cannot believe nobody has anything to say about decorating the graves. That used to be such a standard for people on Memorial Day. A lot of people would do it the weekend before just to make sure it got done. Now, it does not seem to be much of a thing. I don't know what has happened with Memorial Day on the whole. And how are we supposed to celebrate Memorial Day on the whole now? Does anybody know? You know, we certainly know about the 4th of July. We certainly know about Labor Day. But the norms of Memorial Day are kind of changing. Well, I don't even know if we're certain about Labor Day anymore. You know, Labor Day used to be a day to celebrate the unions, but I don't think that's a thing anymore. I don't think most people know what's going on Labor Day. So it is where we are at this particular point in society. And again, the phone lines are open here this morning, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Feel free to weigh in if there's anything on your mind. It's a beautiful morning out there this morning. Mostly cloudy skies, but 54 degrees right now. You know, I will take anything in which the rain is not pouring down. Because we seemingly do not get any days without rain. Oh, you know what? We actually have a clip here of the end of last night's Stephen Colbert show, wrapping up 11 years on CBS, 33 years of late night on CBS. This is how it all ended last night on CBS. This might be worth the listen. Oh, wait a second. I think we're getting a phone call here. Let's take the phone call and we'll come back to this. Go ahead, caller.
Good morning, Scott.
Good morning.
You know, when it was Memorial Day when I was a kid, at that point, the peonies would all be out. So we would go and pick peonies. My ancestors are all prospect. We would go out and pick the peonies, and we would put them in mason jars, and then we would go to prospect. And in that course of the trip, we learned respect and so forth for the cemetery. You didn't climb over the tombstones. You didn't run and play chase, and you done none of that stuff. It was just the way it was. And in the meantime, Mom and Dad would explain who these people were and how we were relation to them, and da 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 da, and what they had done in their life. But we didn't go buy flowers at the greenhouse. We took the peonies. It was in the yard. And at that time, we lived in Union County, and my ancestors were all in Prospect, like I said. But that's when we learned about our ancestors. And it wasn't a sit-down lesson. It just was a fact of that's the way it was. And so you knew where your grandma and great-grandma and so forth was buried. Maybe you even knew where they lived, what they did for a living, just in conversation. It wasn't a set-down lesson. And then you'd put the flowers there, and at that time I had a grandma that was buried in the mausoleum there in Prospect when they had the mausoleum. And my sister and I would have to take that jar of peonies in the mausoleum to set them on the shelf by where our grandma was. And we never liked it, but needless to say, we hurried in there and hurried out. But That wasn't, you know, we sat down and had a lesson. That was just conversation. And kids don't get that anymore. They don't even get it at the kitchen table. It is no wonder kids are running rampant. Everybody's having these babies, but they don't realize that once the babies is here, it's up to them to raise them to be good human beings.
Well, do you still do the cemeteries?
Pardon me?
Do you still go out and do that on Memorial Day?
It was always like, usually Memorial Day, we would drive over there, pack, because it was 10 of us kids. Of course, we didn't all go at the same time. But we'd go over there, and Mom would talk about the people on the way over there that we were going to, talk about the people on the way back. And so we got a kind of a family history lesson in the meantime. But we did respect the cemetery. We wouldn't have come over the tombstones, and if we had, we would have remembered the end result. But it was not playing tag in the cemetery. It wasn't playing hide and seek. It was none of that. You went, you learned to respect the cemetery and the unwritten laws of what you did when you went to the cemetery. I don't blame these young kids. I blame their moms and dads because they're so busy being busy that no one has time just for quiet conversation and not make it like a lesson or a course, just conversation. My kids would have never gone and come over the tombstones.
Now, do you still go out in 2026 and do the decorating of the memorials?
I used to for my brother because I had brothers that were buried and so forth, but it's too hard for me to walk on ground now. And I used to go do it, I mean, it was all of us kids, but I was the only one that went. And I didn't go because I was the only one. You just went because somebody needed to go and take care of the graves. But no, I don't do it now, and I feel bad about it, but it's just too hard for me to walk on that unlevel ground, and I really don't want to fall and then have maybe no one find me for...
No, you're right. Well, you know what's interesting, though? What I have found, maybe it was from being in two different cemeteries on Monday, is that, you know, you don't see anybody, and I would look around at the other graves. Now, some of them did have decorations. I mean, some people had been out there, but it was certainly not the percentage that it would have been 10 years ago, and certainly not what it would have been 20 or 30 years ago. And
Scott, you think about it. How much compassion is really in this world?
Well, it's not, but you know, I we have a lot of conversations on this show about what happens when you die, and I think this is tied into that in some way, because I think now that people have such access to their cell phones and all of that, I think that's one of the things people search out, and I think less people probably go to church. I think less people probably believe that something happens when you die. And I think there is this prevailing idea that these people are not in the cemetery, so why go there?
Well, everybody's awful busy, too, Scott. You know that. Everybody's busy. We don't know what they're busy doing there, but everybody's awful busy. They don't have time to say hey to the neighbor. Everybody's just busy. They got all, how many people would be able to do their laundry in a wringer washer, hang it on the line, wait till it dries, bring it in, fold it, and then iron the clothes and hang them in the closet? Now, what do they do? You know, they only had 24 hours then, too. We only had 24 hours. What do we do with our 24 hours?
You know what you don't see much of anymore, and I was thinking about this the other day, and long after the dryer came in, people still did this, hang their clothes on the clothesline. How many clotheslines do you see anymore?
Well, you don't, and I wished I had one, but I don't have one. But, yeah, I used to hang sheets out, and I'd have six long lines of sheets. I would hang my other clothes out. The towels all went, and then the hand towels went, and then the washcloths went. The husband's clothes went first, mine went next, then the boys went next. There was a routine and a respect for your home. It ain't there anymore.
No,
so
and
why is that?
Well, I don't know, and I really, the Memorial Day thing is maybe more bothersome than a lot of other things, because this is not about us, this is about honoring the people who went before us, and kind of like you said, that's what I always felt it was, because when I was younger, now I do have to say that my parents were not big into this, but my grandparents certainly were, and my grandparents were around a long time in my life, well into adulthood. My grandparents. And this was something that generation did. They went, even into their old age, they would make sure they went, long after they were not driving long distances anymore, they would make their kids take them to do it. Because it was important. They'd been doing it for so long, and their parents had done it. And they always used to say, and almost every family's got this story, that particular generation, my grandparents' generation, used to say, when I'm gone, nobody will do this anymore. And you know what? They were right.
That's true. And it, the whole thing is, you know, everybody thinks that, well, you talk to any, you go any place and everybody's got their phones, you know how that is. And I thought, well, I sit at home all day, and I maybe get one or two phone calls. Well, until scam came along, then I get many phone calls. But how could anyone have, I always used to say, they must be waiting on a kidney transplant, and so they got to make sure to get the call. Everybody has their phone out. Nobody wants to, I mean, they're in their own, everybody's in their own little world. They don't care about anybody else.
You know, maybe at this rate, what we'll have to do is we'll have to go visit the spam callers' graves when they go on to a different world, because that's the people who call us now.
Hey, if we didn't have spam calls, I won't say that, because my kids, kind of a routine that I know when who's going to call when and whatever, but, and they don't hang on my, I've always said, your kids either, you're either taking care of them, they're living with you, or you never see them.
You know something, I did want to say this, because I was having a conversation with somebody the other night about this, which I guess is why it's been on my mind, is that I don't know how many people know this, but there is a thing, now this came with the internet, now I'm not sure if it's good or bad, but if you are a person, I don't want to say it's all famous people, but it's just people who had any kind of notoriety at all, there is a website that you can go to called findagrave.com, and what it does is it tells you when that person was born, when they died, what they did, there's a little paragraph about what they did in life, and then it tells you where they're buried. And a lot of times it'll give you the plot, it'll give you the row, and you know what? A lot of people are going to the cemeteries to see these people, and it's not just the big stars. I mean, you know, it's local people, local radio stars, local television stars. But a lot of people are going to the graves and leaving things there because they never met these people, and it would be hard to find them if it wasn't for this website. So I think that's kind of a nice thing that technology has done.
Yes, but for every good thing, the human turns it into a bad thing.
That's, we go and visit the people we never knew, but we don't go and visit our family anymore.
Whatever, Scott. That's just a fact of life. And I got one more thing to say about the city.
Yes.
If we could save this money doing what we're doing, why haven't we done it? Why didn't we start doing it in January? And prove to the state that we didn't need them, that we could handle it.
Well, the timeline is strange, and I think that's ultimately going to be a thing. But I will tell you, as I said early in the week, and it's just gotten bigger and bigger, every story, you know, we put stories up on the social media about local politics, and usually city council stories, depending on what it is, they get a varying amount of response. This story on curbside recycling, I have not checked it this morning, but it has constantly been growing all week. And it's gotten more attention than the 15-year-olds who participated in the shooting. It's gotten more attention than the gentleman who was killed on the motorcycle the other day when the 16-year-old did not yield. It's gotten more attention than the bus fares increasing by far. This curbside recycling, I think, is sticking in people's crawl the wrong way. And I wonder if we'll see any backlash on Tuesday because of it.
Well, but see, if I found out last January that I was really short on money, that next week I wouldn't have bought any more pop. If I was last January, if I knew, you know, things were rough, then I would have shut off the lights that I wasn't using. We don't do that. We just hassle, talk about it, and then with the state, okay, make a decision. You don't have to have somebody tell you, for crying out loud, that, you know, sit and talk about it all the time, that we're short on money. Do something, for God's sakes, about it.
I think you're right. We'll have to continue. Maybe Matt will be here next hour, and we can continue this conversation.
Well, maybe we should call him, get him up. Maybe he's getting his hair cut.
Hey, wouldn't that be something on Memorial Day?
We'd forgive him for being late.
Would forgive, because we know cutting his hair would take a long time.
Okay, thanks, Scott.
Thanks for calling. Bye-bye. All right, we've got more show right after this. Don't go anywhere.
When he was caught selling marijuana.
Yeah, he was selling it.
Honey, we know, but we care about you and want to know what's going on.
That's right.